Good morning. Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. We've been gazing this morning at some beautiful things, some heavenly things like a reward in the end. And if you've been paying attention to the song we've been singing in the openings, your eyes have been refreshed by some beautiful things, like a beautiful sunset or a beautiful sunrise and the glory of God and some beautiful, beautiful things. We got a little more earthy in the children's lesson, but now, much as I hate to, we need to take our gaze away from this beautiful scene, refreshing scene, and look down beyond the earthy into the very pits of hell. Into a place of darkness, of snakes, of serpents, of devils, of demons, of indignation, wrath, condemnation. We need to take our eyes from this beautiful thing and look for a while this morning at something ugly. And I wish we wouldn't have to, but we have to. The Spirit of God constrains us. The Word of God instructs us, and we have to. We have to take some time to look at what's not pretty, what's ugly, to make room for the beautiful. We need to look at the profane this morning to make room for the profound. You know, some things in life, the more you look at them, the less scary, the less ugly they are. And I think that a little green snake, green grass snake, is one of those things. When you say snake, I recoil. Most of us have a repulsion, an aversion to snakes in our hearts, and I recoil. But if you'll take a look at a little green snake, it's not that bad. It's slim. It doesn't have teeth that you can see, at least. It's clean. It stays in the branches and the twigs of trees. I actually caught one for the boys the other day and let them look at it. It's a fairly harmless thing. It looks less ugly as you study it, a little green grass snake. But other things, brothers and sisters, look uglier the more you look at them. Take a copperhead, another kind of snake. We have an aversion, a repulsion to them. But once you see one up close on your porch, maybe next to your child, the more you look at that snake, the uglier it looks. You start noticing how short and fat it is, that diamond-shaped head with evil eyes, that wicked forked tongue poking out of its mouth. And if you look closely, the fangs inside there, the poison that you know is there. Some things, brothers and sisters, the more we look at them, the uglier they get. And that's our subject this morning, is one that I hope and pray will get uglier to you as we look at it. I hope and pray you'll notice the fangs, the evil eyes, the fire and brimstone, the wickedness of it, the hellishness of it. I hope, brothers and sisters, that this morning we'll see some of that. And then I hope at the end to shift our eyes again to what's beautiful. I was asked to preach on this subject, on the subject of gossip. There was a suggestion came in and I was asked to share on it. I'd rather not. But by God's grace, we'll look at this subject. I know I run some risks this morning. Risks of people thinking I didn't hit a subject hard enough or an aspect too hard. I'll try to stick with the Word of God this morning. Those risks I can handle. You can talk to me if you struggle. But what bothers me more is because of the breadth of the subject this morning, the width of it, I run the risk, and you run the risk, of hearing what was not meant for you. Let me explain. The Holy Spirit and the devil both highlight scriptures, quote scriptures. When the Holy Spirit does it, it is honest, true, truth. Right, life, conviction. When the devil does it, it's all lie. He did it to Jesus. He quoted scriptures, but in the wrong place at the wrong time. The tendency on a sensitive subject like this, especially for us to listen wrong, is a very strong tendency. Take, for instance, the verse that is apt to come to your mind, if you have a less than sanctified mind for sure, the verse that is apt to come to your mind if you're struggling with a reproof that you felt was too strong. Someone gave you a sound reproof. What verse can pop up in our mind? Bible verse. Judge not that ye be not judged. Isn't that right? Isn't that one that can quickly pop up in our minds? Who brought that verse? It was either our flesh or the devil. The verse we should have thought about were the verses about loving reproof. About a wise man loving reproof and a fool hating reproof. And that's my burden this morning, because I would like to, by God's grace, speak on several sides of the subject of our words. And we could easily listen to the wrong side. And we can also easily listen for our neighbor, for someone in another pew or in the same pew. I encourage us not to listen for each other, but to listen for ourselves to the Word of God this morning. Scripture speaks of rightly dividing the word of truth. Another thing, as I pondered this subject, and as I told you, some things look uglier the longer you look at them. This truly is one of them. I thought, surely there's no one among us that would stoop to such depths. Surely no one. Does anyone here have the poison of asps under your lips? We won't raise our hands, and don't do that. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands later. But I'd like to look at an account in starting this morning. I'd like to look at what happened to Isaiah. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. As we think of the subject of speech, I thought of various titles. I thought of death or life, what is in your tongue? I thought of the poison of asps. I thought of, has the coal touched your lips? But what I settled on is simply this: by thy words, justified or condemned. By thy words, justified or condemned. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Now it's interesting to me that when Isaiah got before the presence of a beautiful, holy God, a scene much more beautiful than what we were able to see in our minds this morning with just the singing and the opening. When Isaiah got before that holy God, what he thought about was what? His lips. His unclean lips. His unsanctified speech. fascinating that that's what comes out. But God had an answer for it in this vision. And an angel flew and took a live coal with the tongs. Why didn't he grab the coal? Because it was hot. He took a tongs and took a live coal and touched Isaiah's lips. Now that would have sizzled. That would have sizzled. But in the vision, Isaiah was willing to let it happen. His unclean lips looked ugly enough to him. It didn't matter what it took to be cleansed. And my heart this morning is that we would get to that point where we don't mind what it takes, but we will rule our lips. By thy words, justified or condemned. Turn in your Bibles now to Matthew 12. I'd like to look first at why is the subject of our words important. Is it really that important? What does the Scripture say about our words? And by the way, the Scriptures have a lot to say about our words, more than many other subjects that you'll look into. In Matthew 12, chapter 34, and Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, Jesus speaks to the Pharisees. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now this is Jesus saying this. Jesus had only so many things he said while he was on earth, and this was one of them. By thy words thou shalt be justified or condemned. And also, we'll give account for our words, every word, and even every idle word, every not so thought out word, every, not just when we're preaching, not just when we've thought out our words, but even every word that we just let tumble out. Those are the words we'll give account for. Anything we utter is our responsibility in God's eyes and in eternity. There will be no excuses on the day of giving account. Moses spoke unadvisedly with his lips at a time when his temper was hot. His patience had certainly been tried, but there was no excuse for it. He paid for it dearly. Psalms speaks of that. Why is this important? Because Jesus said that by our words we'll be justified or condemned. Why is it important? Proverbs 18:21 says, and I quote, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Proverbs says that death and life are in the power of our tongue. We know this. Death and life for ourselves and for others are in the power of our tongue. James has this to say, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Why is it important? It's because if we don't get this matter of our words right, the rest of our religion is vain, worthless, useless. Proverbs 13 and verse 3 says, He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Why is it important? The difference between life and destruction. Proverbs 21 and verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Isn't that true? 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. If you want to love life and see good days, that's a good recipe. And lastly, why is it important? Psalm 139:4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Not a word we say escapes God's knowledge and record. Why is the subject important? Because Jesus said we'll give account and either be justified or condemned. Because James says that religion without redeemed speech is useless. Because it is how we keep our life and our soul from troubles and how we see good days. And Isaiah felt it important enough that in his vision, he was willing to have a live coal put on his lips if it'll take care of the problem. It's an important subject. I don't know how I'm going to run on time. I've never typed my notes out before, so I don't know how much I can get through there. But I think I'm going to write some things on the board here just for a visual. By thy words, and here, justified, or condemned. Now, this is what we were looking at this morning, this picture, the beautiful picture of heaven, of God. When we say justified, that fits right in there, right? And when we say condemned, that fits right into the other picture I tried to describe. So just to help our visual a little, over here with justified, I'm going to write God, Jesus, heaven, and we'll stick with words that the scripture uses here about our words. So here we go into words: health, life, sweet, truth. And it keeps going. I don't know what all. Edifying, encouragement, good days, medicine, honeycomb, blessings, sound speech, cheer, grace. Those words all fit over there. They fit with the picture. And then over here, we'll write Satan, demons, hell, over here with condemned, death, wounds, piercings, rottenness. I'm sorry, you in the back cannot see that very well, but lies, destruction, accusation, evil days, poison, and then we have these little words like babbling, slander, whispering. Do you get the picture? Some things just very clearly belong in one camp. Some things just very clearly belong in the other. Is Satan the demons? I wrote demons wrong. And the wicked, are they not doing a good enough job on their side that they need our help? They're just not quite making enough trouble. Just not quite turning enough that was beautiful into ugly. So we need to help them a little bit. God forbid. So I have four parts that I would like to look at. The first is the sin of gossip. The second is the sin of slander. Evil speaking, whispering, railing, and backbiting. Those words. The third is the hearer's part. And the fourth is wholesome speech. It's a lot to get through. I'll try to talk fast. Hopefully, you can follow with me. The word gossip, the sin of gossip, the word gossip is not in the Scripture. And we know that. But we do see words like talebearer, babbler, idle words, and busybodies. And these words all mean very, very close to what today's definition is for gossip. And the New Webster's defines gossip as a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others. It's a gossip noun. A rumor or report of an intimate nature. Chatty talk. The 1828 Webster says it's one who runs from house to house, tattling and telling news. An idle tattler. Mere tattle, idle talk. To prate, to chat, to talk much, to run about and tattle, to tell idle tales. Gossip. Talebearer, babbler, idle words, busybodies. Things like nosiness. Passing on information that has nothing to do with you or anyone else. Things, talking about things that are none of our business. They're somebody else's business. They're not our business. It's not our business how often someone brushes their teeth, unless they're our child. Or how often they shower. Or things of a personal nature. It's none of our business. When we talk about such things to others, we gossip. We're busybodies. We're talebearers. I want to also look at what gossip is not. Sometimes things get labeled gossip that should not be labeled gossip. But for now, these things belong here, right here. It's not maybe over here or possibly here in the middle. No. They belong over here with condemned. They belong in that list. Why? Because God has something to say about gossip. About talebearing. Way back in Leviticus, you'll find a verse, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. God said that way back when he was giving these instructions to the Israelites so that his people would be a special and peculiar people and so that they would endure. And the church is no less special to God today. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Proverbs 11:13 says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth a matter. If you want to write references down, that's fine. I'm going through so many scriptures, you cannot turn there. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but if someone has a faithful spirit, he'll conceal a matter. He'll be faithful to keep. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. 1 Peter 4:15 says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Paul tells Timothy twice to avoid vain babblings. Useless talk. Second Thessalonians 3:11, for we hear that, and he goes on, several verses here. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. And then in 1 Timothy 5:13, talking about younger widows who are not properly, where there's not proper administration, and with all they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but tacklers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Those words are words that work for gossip. A fool uttereth all his mind, Proverbs 29:11, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. We don't get a very positive picture of speaking without thinking, of a lot of idle chatter. Now, I want to talk about cheerful chatter later. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. The sin of gossip, one of the best ways I know to overcome the sin of gossip is to study to be quiet. Gossip is mostly an overflow of words. Someone has too much to say and they say things they ought not to say. Gossip also comes out of the heart of a busybody who is curious about other men's business and loves to pass it on. Gossip comes from there too. But a lot of gossip simply stems out of an overabundance of words. Wholesome words. We'll look at those later. So I think one thing that sometimes all of us struggle about with is, when does our talk become gossip? And what is appropriate and even good information to pass on, to talk about? I think all of us struggle with that sometimes. And we've not got into slander yet. We're just speaking of gossip here. We're just speaking of information, sensational information, Webster said, and often personal information. So one rule, obviously, that applies is the golden rule. The golden rule. That's not foolproof, as it's not with everything else either. Perhaps you like a shoulder massage, but your brother does not. Doesn't mean you give him one. So while the golden rule is a good start, if you don't mind others sharing it about you, then probably it's okay to share it about others. That's not always okay. Some people are more sensitive than others. If I have a bladder problem, my way to deal with it likely is to not, is to be very open about it. That way all the embarrassment's gone. You know, all right? And you know why I'm heading for the bathroom all the time. That would be what I would want. You know, I'd just be open about it. Tell you, I've got it. You know, it's all right. Okay, we're talking about things of personal nature here. Some people try to hide it. I don't think it's the best way, but if someone is sensitive in that way, then let's be sensitive to them. and we know something about that, and we just keep it to ourselves. There's no reason to pass it on. The golden rule, many times. Another thing is that positive things about others are hardly ever considered gossip. Saying good things about someone else is hardly ever gossip. Could be flattery. It can be flattery. But often flattery is done to that person's face. So most of the time, you're on safe ground if you're saying something good about someone else. When it becomes negative, it very quickly becomes gossip or worse. I say very quickly, and I don't say always. We'll look at some of that later. I think of things like leaked courtship plans. How devastating can that be? How devastating is that? Somehow you became aware of something in someone else's future and you leak it. It's despicable. Degrading things, mocking things. It's ugly. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And they create fire. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. When we gossip, brothers and sisters, I have one more thing to say. Sometimes we leak information without meaning to. Places to be careful, and I think we need to hear this. Places to be careful. If you're on the phone and you're having a sensitive conversation with someone, be mindful who's around you. Maybe later, maybe somewhere else. Some of us sort of lose track of who's listening when we're on the phone. Be mindful who's around you. It's a good way to disappoint someone. Also, if we're having a personal, sensitive conversation in a public place, be mindful of the volume. I'm shocked sometimes at what volume in which people discuss sensitive things. Be mindful of the volume. Who's around? Unfortunately, in every group this size, there are some who have not overcome the busybody tendency, who will want to hear. There are also others who don't want to hear, but inadvertently will hear if we say it real loud. Make sense? Be careful. Be careful. Brothers and sisters, I'm preaching to myself too. I said I know I'm running risks. One of the risks is that I've done this and someone noticed it and it makes it hard for you to take it. Okay, you talk to me about that afterward. I'm happy to clear it up. Let's listen to the Word of God. When we gossip, we disobey God. So thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people. Thou shalt not sit as a talebearer. It doesn't matter if you're going up and down or sitting. We disobey God. We hurt others. But perhaps with gossip, what we do most of all is we hurt ourselves. It's a despicable thing. People of character do not like being around a gossip. They will not share with a gossip. They pick out a gossip. You gain a very, very unsavory reputation through gossip. You hurt yourself. I wanted to mention gossiping in testimonies or prayer requests. I think it's a specific question that was asked. And I'll give my sentence on it. I have not heard a lot of gossipy prayer requests. There have at times been things said in testimonies or prayer requests that I think have been ill-advised. That was maybe more information than what would have been appropriate in that setting at that time. And I think when we're uncertain about those kind of things, it would be good to ask someone older. Ask one of the elders. Ask someone if I'm going to share this request, how much should I share? They can give you wisdom on that. It happens. It happens that our gossip takes on a very spiritual flavor. Doesn't make it any better. Sometimes, also, a motivation for gossip is somehow we think that people will be impressed by how much we know about a situation. Let's just face it, a little bit of pride. I've been very involved in this. I'm a little bit of pride. When we gossip, we sin against God. We disobey God, is the way I worded that, sin against. We hurt others. We separate friends. And we gain ourselves a very sorry reputation. We lose trust. But as I said earlier, gossip that is negative very, very quickly comes to a whole new level. If you want to look at this list, a very, very hellish, devilish level. So hellish and so devilish that the same word used for, let me get this right, I believe it was for a slanderer, okay, I'm sorry I missed getting that in these notes, there are two words. Slander, another word like it, in the New Testament, it may have been whispering, backbiting. It was not whispering, it may have been backbiting. Sorry, I should have wrote that down. You can ask me, I'll find that for you. There's slanderer and one other word in the New Testament that 90% of the time, that exact same word in the Greek is translated devil. When it says, but they're slanderers, it could have said, but they're devils. Brothers and sisters, the longer we look at this, I want it to get uglier because it is. We want to see it how God sees it. So the second heading here is the sin of slander, evil speaking, whispering, railing, and backbiting. We reach a whole new level. We reach a very, very devilish level here. Okay, here we go. Slanderers and false accusers. It was right there at the top. Slanderers and false accusers. Three times used in the New Testament. And translated the 90% of the other times, I didn't figure how many, as devils. So close is it to the same thing. We call Satan the accuser. God calls him the accuser of the brethren. So once again, I want to read half a dozen verses here. Just pay attention. You can jot references if you want. Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Psalm 64 speaks of the workers of iniquity, and here we go quoting, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect, and suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. Speaking of words. Psalm 50:16, but unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee? When thou sawest the thief, then thou consentest with him, and thou hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother, thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence, though thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Him that sitteth and speakest against his brother. Right here in this list. Proverbs 16:27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. And verse 28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. The sin of whispering. Psalm 15:1, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Backbiting with the tongue, taking up a reproach against the neighbor. The man who does that will not dwell in the holy hill. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Psalm 101:5. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. 2 Corinthians 12:20. Paul says he fears when he comes there would be all kinds of unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, maliciousness, murder, debate, deceit, whisperers and backbiters. Those are the words. Proverbs 6:19, and the list of things that God hates is a false witness that speaketh lies. Now, what if you just didn't do your research well enough on the rumor you heard and you speak a lie? Does God love that or hate that? Whose responsibility is it to make sure that what we say is true? Titus 3:2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. James 4:11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth, speaketh evil and judgeth the law. And if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Someone said you could not fasten upon any word or sentence and say that it was slander. For in order to constitute slander, it is not necessary that the word spoken should be false. Half-truths are often more slanderous than whole falsehoods. It is not necessary even that a word should be distinctly uttered. A dropped lip, an arched eyebrow, a shrugged shoulder, a significant look, an incredulous expression of countenance, nay, even an emphatic silence may do the work. And when the light and trifling thing which has done the mischief has fluttered off, the venom is left behind to work and rankle, to inflame hearts and to poison human society at the fountain springs of life. I ask again, is the devil not good enough at this by himself with all his helpers? Do we have to help him? Tear down our brothers? Isn't that what he's all about? Tearing us down, tear our ministry down, tear our parents down, tear our brother and sister down. Isn't that what the devil's all about? Why would we help him? Why would we speak ill of our brother or sister? The devil wants to see them fall, not us. When is it okay to speak evil of a brother or sister? And does God see it as your responsibility to make sure that what you say is true? And does God see it serious if you speak evil, even if it is true? Did Paul take that lightly? Jesus and Paul both said very blunt things, very honest things. I'm not promoting the expense of honesty. But does God take it seriously when we say something evil, even if it's true? Do you think that those who pass on gossip or slander, and it ends up not being true, you think those will not be held doubly guilty? God hates a false witness that speaks lies. God hates a false witness that speaks lies. Brothers and sisters, far too many are not only willing to hear an evil report, but pass it on. Is it you or I? I meant to say, if I step on toes, nobody will know if you don't squeal. It's okay. Someone has said, if you are not a part of the problem or the solution to the problem, you have no business talking about it. I would like to take that a little farther. If you're not a part of the problem or a solution to the problem, you have no business. Sorry, I'm saying that. Yeah. If you are a part of the problem or a solution to the problem, you still have no business talking about it except to others who are part of the problem or a part of the solution to the problem. And the solution, until it is brought through Matthew 18 channels to the whole church, the solution is not the whole church. The solution is not the whole church until it has went through the proper channels. But what about sharing concerns? What about sharing concerns? I think two very relevant questions are, who are you sharing it with and what for? There is certainly a time to pass a concern to someone in authority, to a parent, to a pastor. Very much a time to share a concern in that case. To someone who has responsibility over the subject of the concern, that's okay. Sometimes you don't know, should I go address this? And you go and talk to someone over that person, whether it be a parent, pastor, whoever that is. And they can help. They may tell you to go talk, or they may say, we'll look into it. There's also a time for a mature mentor to help guide someone through their weakness. They're struggling with someone, they're struggling with attitudes, and someone is willing to hear that and guide them through that. But if our estimation of the person who is being talked about by the one we are mentoring, if our estimation of that person is affected by what we are hearing, we are not mature enough to be a mentor. Maybe I should say that again. But we're running out of time. It is hardly ever right to share a concern about someone to a peer or an uninvolved person who is not in a place of oversight. Hardly ever. is it right to share a concern with someone who is not in oversight or a peer? You know what that's called most of the time? That's called whispering, slandering, causing divisions and struggles where it hadn't been before. It's called devilish. It is extremely harmful to the body of Christ. It desecrates a beautiful, pure bride of Christ. We dare not. We dare not. So what about honesty then? What about honesty? There's never a place for dishonesty. If I ask someone about someone, I want an honest answer. I want to know what their experience has been. It needs to be charitable, but I want an honest answer. My uncle called me yesterday morning about a man who's looking for a place to live, and I met this man in the past, and it's been a while, and so I asked him, how is he? And he gave me an honest answer. He said, he's a rolling stone. And I knew what he meant. And by that answer, I realized nothing has changed. This man is still, that's what I needed to know. Now, my uncle would say that to the man to his face. He's not whispering that. He's not backbiting that. He'd be willing to have the man know that he said that. One thing about slander and backbiting is we're, most of the time, if it's slander or backbiting, whispering, we really don't want the person to know we said it about him. It has to be a little secret. Don't tell anyone I said that, though. That wasn't very nice. You see that? Most of the time, what the scriptures call slander, backbiting, whispering, these ugly words, these devilish words, it's something we really wouldn't want the subject of our conversation to know we said. And he may even innocently think that things are clear, that we appreciate him. It's the epitome of dishonesty. Honesty is needful. Jesus and Paul both said very honest and blunt things, but they were not afraid of the subjects knowing they said it. They were not afraid of having to retract it or repent of it. No, they were willing to be honest. That is not slander. That is not backbiting. And in the case that when we are involved in a situation, we need to talk about it. There's no other way but to talk about it. Those who are trying to help someone, those who are directly involved, it must be talked about. Jesus and Paul didn't have to whisper or to shoot their bow in secret, as Psalm says. Brothers and sisters, when we whisper or slander, we sin against the one we speak to. Many a soul has been turned aside because of someone who had been high in their estimation being slandered by someone else. We sin against those we speak to. We sin against the one we speak about. We sin against the one we speak about. If it was worth saying, it was worth going and talking to him. We sin against the church, the beautiful body of Christ. We sin against God, and we align ourselves with Satan in that regard, in that respect. Jesus said it would be better for a millstone to be hanged about our neck than that we should offend one of the little ones. Be careful about your speech. I personally had to deal with situations where someone spoke negative to someone else about someone that needed to be able to have an open door and a full influence in that person's life. I'm trying to stay vague. We sin, brothers and sisters. Millstones were better for us. Makes me think of the old saying, if you can't think of anything good to say about someone, don't say anything at all. That's saying it real lightly. God said it way more strongly. He used words like cut off, like destroy. God said it much more strongly. Set a watch on our lips, brothers and sisters. When it's negative, think more than 10 times before you say it. All right, the hearer's part. These last two are shorter, so don't stress too much. Read a quote again. And I named this the hearer's part, partaker or reprover? Question. Partaker or reprover? Someone said, the worse the man is, the more welcome to his depraved heart are the reports of bad things concerning others. The worse the man is, the more welcome to his depraved heart are the reports of bad things concerning others. The scripture also speaks to this in Proverbs 17 and verse 4. Says, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Who is it that pays attention? It's a wicked doer that pays attention to things like this, that enjoys it. And in light of there being some responsibility on the hearer, just as there have to be two to fight, there have to be two for slander and gossip to be doing its work. There has to be a hearer. There have to be those who are willing to hear it. Maybe those who want to hear it. And brothers and sisters, we are not guiltless if we have permitted and maybe even secretly enjoyed hearing slander about others. Doesn't matter whether we like the person or not, to say it crudely. If we have enjoyed hearing slander about others, we are not guiltless. We're a wicked doer. By hearing, when we're willing to hear these kind of things, we encourage such a vile practice. And also, slander always is trying to find new victims. He who wrongs others' reputations is very apt to wrong ours. Very apt to turn on us. And it will be behind your back, of course. You'll never know it. You'll never know it. But lots of mischief will be done behind your back. Just as this person is doing a lot of mischief to others, to you, behind their backs. I don't want to say it more strongly than what it is, but I believe that to give ear and believe slander about our brother or sister in church is wickedness. Wickedness. Go talk. If it's proven, then we know what to do. We take a path forward. But until it's proven, it's wickedness to believe that. If our relationships are as they should be in the church, we will probably know that it's not true without asking. If they're not as they should be, we can go ask. We shouldn't assume it's true without first talking to the brother or sister. Someone said, if I cannot stop others' mouths from speaking ill of others, I will either open my mouth to reprove it, or else I will stop my ears from hearing it and let him see in my face that he has no room in my heart. There are times to listen, like I mentioned earlier. A mentor, a spiritual leader, when we need to know about some relationship struggles, when you need to know about some relationship struggles, there are times to hear. There are times to hear. But with that, there's always guidance given. There's never a feeling like, oh, he's believing that too, and he's getting worked up about that too, and this brother must be really bad. You know, there's none of that. No, there's a hearing, but then there's guidance given. Brothers and sisters, character is rare and precious these days. Very rare, very precious. Good character. And it's easily damaged. That which takes a lifetime to build can be shattered by a few moments of slander, of whispering, of sinister whispering. We should supremely value each other's character and each other's reputation. We really should. We're brothers. We're in something together. We're in a life or death battle together. We should value our brother's reputation. We should jealously defend a worthy reputation. You know, our initial reaction when it's against one of our brethren or sisters should be skepticism. That should be our initial reaction, skepticism. And then even in the case of true faults, there is a charity that will cover a multitude of sins. Others do that for us. Others cover our weaknesses for us. We should do it for others. Charity covers a multitude of sins, even in the case of true faults. And I think beyond that, maybe we should see it more of our duty to silence unproved rumors of evil. Maybe we should see that as more of our duty, to silence those unproven rumors of evil. One way to do that is to, when you hear it, to simply say, let's go talk right now. I'll go with you. We're going to go talk to this brother. I doubt that he meant it that way or that he did that, but I'm sure he'll be willing to clear it up. Let's go. And it's over. It's taken care of. And you have been a peacemaker. You have silenced an unproven rumor that can cause division, devastation in the body of Christ. Sometimes it's simply a matter of speaking up and saying, we have no business talking about this. I've done that. I've heard others do that. There's nothing wrong with doing that. We have no business talking about this. Sometimes even there's a place to acknowledge. Yeah, I've seen that he has that weakness. But there's so many other areas where he way excels us, I don't know why we're picking on the weakness. Redeem the character. Redeem the reputation. Set it back right. It's a precious thing these days, brothers and sisters. Dread a talebearer as a destroying pestilence. And put to naught all tales with ruthless severity. That's what I see. That's what I see in the Scripture. Hearers have a responsibility. But there's one more aspect to hearers. I see I'm going over my time. There's one more aspect to hearers that I would like to mention. This aspect of hearing, and that is oversensitivity. Oversensitivity. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 21 that says, also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. James says, in many ways we offend all. And if any man offend not in tongue, the same is a perfect man. There will be slip-ups. There will be failures among our brothers and sisters and even in our own lives. Ecclesiastes here says, don't give heed to every word that's spoken. What I'm hearing is there's no need for us to be chasing down rumors about ourselves. Let those take care of themselves. If someone asks, answer. I had an older sister. We had an older sister bring something to us that she had heard about us. I'm very thankful she did that. She did the right thing. I don't know if it was a legitimate concern shared with her, or if it was gossip that she picked up on and did the right thing with it. But anyway, she did the right thing. that's happy to give answer to it. It's no problem. I don't know how big or wide a rumor it was, but I have no need to go chase it down. It's negative, but it's not terribly negative. It's not true. But why would I waste my time chasing that down? We don't have to give heed to everything that's said about us. You may hear somebody speak ill of you. Jesus didn't even answer when he was falsely accused to his face. He didn't even have to defend himself. And forgiveness is still a Christian principle. So if somebody did wrong in what they shared about you, it wasn't true, well, forgive them. You may not even know who it was. We just forgive. But sometimes we're just oversensitive. It doesn't matter. It's good for our brothers and sisters to know if we ended up in the hospital. They may want to care. They may want to bring a meal. Sometimes I don't find out things that I wish I would so that I could be involved. So there's things that are okay for people to know, for people to talk about. A bunch of the young men here have said to me, here you're digging a lake or a pond or something. There's nothing wrong with that spreading. Okay, yeah, I'm planning to dig a pond if it works out. And I said it to one or two, and it spreads. There's nothing wrong with that spreading. Young men have interest in swimming and fishing in ponds and lakes. There's nothing wrong with that. There's really nothing wrong with people knowing that I have bladder problems, which I don't. Again, when we know someone's sensitive to that, be careful. But until someone knows that I'm sensitive to that, it may not be their fault if they say something about it. Sometimes we're a little oversensitive. And accidents happen. If someone repeatedly leaks things, we understand that. We draw back. The scripture says, don't meddle with the talebearer. If someone in authority, our mother or our pastor, has leaked something that we were sensitive about in the past, it's still right to talk and trust. We should go. We should talk to them about that. We should let them know how that made us feel. That's the right thing to do in that case. Go talk about it so that you can, again, have the relationship that God intended for you to have with that person, whether it be your parent, your pastor, whoever it is. And God help that man or woman to do a better job, to be more trustworthy next time. And this, by you talking, may help them to be that, to become that, to become more trustworthy. I would like to say, in light of all this, of how ruinous this kind of talk is, that for us, when people are talking about us, there is grace in Christ and energy in the Spirit by which to live and perfect a good life and a good name in spite of slander and gossip and evil speaking by the enemy. We are not ruined by things people say about us. That is our... do not listen to that if you're slandering or gossiping. You can ruin somebody. But on our side, we don't have to be ruined. There's grace in Christ for that. And one more thing. The light of final judgment will finally refute all slander and bring every secret thing to open gaze of the world. It will. That is comforting when you've been talked about and slandered. That is scary if you've been doing it. The light of judgment will reveal all things. I will roll through wholesome speech here. I wanted more time, but as it goes, the best part of the sermon we have the least time for. Titus 2:7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, but he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Less speaking is often a part of sound speech. Now we should speak. Our words are a gift. Words offer life. We should speak. But if you're a talker and you've been finding your words to get you in trouble, less speaking is one good way to start dealing with it. Scripture teaches that. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous, listen, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer." Studies, it thinks. But what does the heart of the wicked do? It poureth out. The mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Just tumbles out. So you see a difference. Studied answers versus just a pouring out evil things. Psalm 34:13, "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile." So in many ways, just more carefulness. More carefulness. More thinking before we say about other people what we say about them. Is it slanderous? Is it damaging? Is it health and life? Then we also have the scripture, Proverbs 17:22. "A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Brothers and sisters, a merry heart will have merry words. Not every word we speak has to be gloomy and non-smiley, right? I want to read something that I found that I really like. "I do not call words idle simply because they cannot be registered and measured by a matter-of-fact standard." Cheerful words are not idle words, brothers and sisters. How often has an airy word of pleasantry, just a pleasant word, nothing spiritual about it, how often has an airy word of pleasantry fallen on the ear and pierced the shield of prejudice or passion? How often has the cloud, no bigger than a man's hand, but which would soon have overspread the whole sky, been dispersed by a momentary gleam of bright sunshine and by a word which in itself was only fugitive and hardly to be remembered? You cannot call that an idle word, which is the outflow of simple cheerfulness, if it dissipates an angry thought. The outflow of simple cheerfulness, brothers and sisters, is not idle words. We should have cheerful language, cheerful faces, cheerful words, and many of them. That's okay, it's right. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb." Pleasant words. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Just pleasant words. Someone else said, "I think no musical instrument in the world is like the utterance of speech in one whose voice is well trained, whose mind is rich with emotion, and who is accustomed to describe in graceful and appropriate language one's own experience in life. The conversation that flows in the quietude of the family, like the tinkling of a brook under the shadow of green trees, the conversation that flows like a river whose banks are efflorescent and which holds in its way deep and tranquil, such conversation may become a habit, not only in the sense of not being hurtful, but in the sense of having a beauty which is pleasurable." Beautiful, wholesome words, cheerful words, words that build others up, words that build character, that raise reputations, words that cheer others up. They may be humorous words sometimes. Wholesome words. "Happy are the friends of those whose conversation minister grace to the hearers. It may not always be grave and serious. It may even dance and sparkle like a mountain stream in the cheerful sunlight. But it is always innocent and pure." Always innocent and pure. Colossians 4:6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." You know, one thing about our speech, to test our speech, is simply the Philippians 4:8 test. It works for our thoughts, works for our speech. And 1 Corinthians 13, both of those, beautiful tests to run our speech through. So what about your fountain? James says a fountain cannot send forth sweet water and bitter. What about your fountain? Do you bless or curse? Do your words fit in the justified camp or in the condemned camp? It ought not to be that there's both. Again, James says, in many ways we offend all. None of us is perfect in this. But it ought to be a passion to get away from the ugly picture over here and into the beautiful, pure picture over here. I want to read one more verse. David's cry in Psalm 141:3, or was it Asaph? It says, "Set a watch. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. O Lord, set a watch before my mouth." I wish we could get a picture of how ugly these things really are, slander, gossip. I wish we could see that clearly enough that we would just automatically have that cry. Set a watch, O Lord. Set a watch before my mouth and keep the door of my lips.